Welcome to the Accenture MIT podcast series. Here's Daniel Jackson, professor of computer science at MIT.
Ross Anderson's book, Security Engineering, is an extraordinary volume covering an amazing array of topics in computer security that includes everything from fingerprinting technology to bank fraud. I just looked up cars and automobiles in the index, and all I found was one brief mention in which he explains a weakness in the way electronic locks are designed. In the next version of his book, I'd wager there will be a long section on cars and their vulnerabilities. Last week, I attended a meeting at which a group of computer science researchers presented their most recent results on car security. Within a few days, the results were reported by the Reuters news agency and then in an article by John Markoff of the New York Times. In this podcast, I'll explain the remarkable story, how these researchers were able to take control of a car, and why this is perhaps one of the most shocking revelations in the security world in quite a while. There are several research groups in American computer science departments whose style of research is to investigate security vulnerabilities by picking an important target and then showing how it can be attacked. Most of the publicity in this area has been about electronic voting. In one famous study, some researchers showed they could break the locks on a Diebold voting machine in minutes and alter the vote count, something that would be quite feasible in the privacy of a voting booth. Last fall, a new voting system went online experimentally in Washington, D.C. When voters tried to use it, it seemed to work, but as one voter eventually noticed, when the vote had been cast, the website played the fight song of the University of Michigan. Researchers from that university had successfully hacked the system and had installed the song to see how long it would take for the administrators of the system to find out that they had been compromised. As is often the case, the vulnerability turned out to be very simple. Here's how the attack worked. The website allowed users to upload a PDF file containing a vote, which would then be copied to a special directory. It allowed the user to choose the name of the file. This name would appear at the end of the command used to copy the file. By picking a name that corresponded to another Unix command, you could get the system to execute not only the copy, but also this command of your own choosing. So the researchers chose a command that opened up network access to the system, and they were then able to log in and make any changes they chose, including tampering with votes and installing their favorite song. This story has a happy ending. The Electoral Commission cancelled the online system, and there's perhaps a bit more awareness now of how important it is to involve security experts from the outset. The car story has really only just begun. Last May, a group of researchers from the University of Washington and from the University of California at San Diego published a paper entitled Experimental Security Analysis of a Modern Automobile. To understand what they did, you need to know a little bit about how a car works. A modern car contains dozens of microprocessors called ECUs, or electronic control units, each handling some aspect of the car's behavior. The most important of these are the ECUs that control the engine, and these are clustered into the engine control module. There are ECUs for anti-lock braking, for stability control, for lighting, for door locks, and so on. All these ECUs communicate with each other via internal computer networks. There are usually two separate networks, a high-speed network for engine control and a lower-speed network for lights, door locks, and so on. There is a special socket called the OBD2 port, usually found under the dashboard, that is easily accessible and is used by mechanics to connect to this network and extract error codes and diagnostics. Now, you might think that the more critical parts of the car could be easily separated from the less critical ones, but that's not so easy in practice. The problem is that the various functions of the car are tightly coupled together. Many cars, for example, have a feature that allows the radio to increase the volume when the engine is revving higher. And there are good safety reasons to connect different functions too. For example, unlocking the doors when the airbags are deployed. So here's what the researchers did. First of all, they devised a special sniffer tool and they connected it to the internal network and sniffed the packets that were sent in response to a variety of actions, such as braking or turning lights on and off. They found that if they simply replayed these packets through the OBD port, the car would obey them, since the protocol used on the internal networks, such as the so-called CAN protocol, has no authenticator fields. By actually driving the car on an old runway with it connected to a laptop via the OBD port, they showed that injected packets could do dangerous things, such as disabling the brakes and power steering, increasing the RPM of the engine, applying the brakes suddenly, and so on. They could also control the wipers, the lights, the locks, and amusingly, they could make the speedometer say that the car was doing 140 miles an hour, even though it was stationary and showing as in park. This alone is a worrying result because lots of people install third-party devices into their car, not just entertainment systems, but even things like cruise control. And it means that a rogue device could take over the car. More worryingly, though, they found they could actually reflash the car, that is, replace the engine control software, via the same OBD port. This feature was protected by a challenge response mechanism, but it was relatively easy to crack, and worse, it seems that some manufacturers use the same key for every car of a given model, so once you've cracked the key, you can use it on many cars. Using this feature, they were able to modify the software so that, for example, it would disable the brakes and turn off the lights when the car reached a certain speed. Now, this is much more worrying, since a virus could be introduced by a mechanic without the owner of the car knowing about it, and it could lurk undetected until it causes an accident. Worse, the team showed that the standard setup used by mechanics is itself vulnerable, so that if a criminal got access to the wireless network in a car dealership, they could corrupt the diagnostic software so that it infects every car it's subsequently connected to. This research did create quite a stir, but it wasn't very big news, perhaps because all the attacks required physical access to the car, and for that reason, many critics played it down. So the research team asked themselves, might it be possible to attack a car without any physical access? That'll be the topic of my next podcast.
Copyright 2010, Daniel Jackson. Music copyright 2010, Chris Bremer from pianosociety.com.